Rob Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Our old friend Jared Payton is joining us right now, the super celebrity satellite from the Tribune Media mothership over on Bradley Place, West Bradley Place in Chicago. And JP, we want to talk about a couple things here.
How you guys? First of all, how you guys doing?
Well, that's, you know, first, A, none of your business. B, it would be too long to explain. But
that's true. I will say this.
When the Bears did this whole deal about the top 100, you know, Bears of all times, it was like, we know automatically who the best Bear of all times is. This is, you know, when you get to the number one, I was almost worried that they were going to do something as a publicity stunt and, you know, name like Sid Luckman, the number one Bear of all times. Did you or anybody in your family have concern about that?
No concerns at all. It's kind of funny because I was taking my son to school today. We went to go get breakfast, and I asked him the question. I was like, you know, the Bears are doing this 100, you know, their 100th year, and it's the 100 greatest players. And I'm like, you know who's number one, right? And he goes, yeah, Dad, that's easy. It's Grandpa. I was like, oh, he kind of knows. And I knew in my heart, you guys, you know, that he was the number one.
Oh,
but for me to be able to now study my dad and look at everything that he did and what he put into the game, he deserves to be number one because it was a lot of hard work. And not only did he give his everything to the game of football, he gave everything to the Chicago Bears. And like I said in my tweet today, I'm just very thankful to be a part of their family. And the Bears are unbelievable. And just to see where this organization is going right now, I know my dad would be proud.
Oh, for sure. I think it's arguable. I always make the argument that against all comers, that he is the greatest NFL player of all times.
Oh, yes.
In terms of, you know, all around capability, people who unfortunately, you know, never got the chance to watch your dad play. People are too young to remember him. He was not only the most dynamic running back, but he was the fiercest competitor. He did everything. He took snaps. He was the backup quarterback. He was the backup kicker, the backup place kicker.
How about that?
I mean, that's how crazy it was.
He prided himself on being able to do everything in the game and whatever he was asked to do. And so, yeah, I say it too. And I'm a little biased because he's my dad. But I played this game and I watched this game and I studied this game. There's nobody that will ever be able to do as much as he was able to do. And it's a testament to his work ethic. And it's the one thing that I look at now that, you know, growing up, I just loved playing the game of sports. I didn't want to be the best. I didn't want to be a superstar. I just loved playing. And I didn't have that. I think it skipped a generation. My 7-year-old son, he has it in him now. He's got this, like, will to be the best. And him and my dad are so similar in that sense. But to be able to see the work that my dad put in and what he sacrificed throughout that time that he played. And as a kid, I was upset in the summer times that he wasn't around as much. And I was like, why isn't he not around? I'm 38 now. I get it. I understand. And I respect that. I respect that of him and that he wanted to be the best that he could be to put in the summer times. And he kind of started like the working out and his regimen and what he did. We see that now in athletes, how they train.
He did
that back
that
in the day.
He was running up hills in Arlington Heights. Right? I mean, that's what he did. And I remember I read Channel 2 going on to do a story about him with his drum kit and his hill. And he would run up and down the hill. And there are people like, wow, what is that?
Hey, Ro, we still have that drum kit. You want to buy it? I mean, it's sitting in storage.
Oh, my God. Don't even offer.
Oh, my
do
God.
Not, do
I
not.
Do.
Do not
I
even
do
offer. Now
do
he's going to chase you about that.
JP, how much did he talk about football with you and, I guess, just playing the game? And what were your takeaways from that? Because, you know, some players maybe really don't get into details as much as others. Some like to relive the glory days, I guess. But how much did he talk to you about his playing days?
Okay, listen, you're going to – it's going to kind of maybe make your head spin a little bit. He didn't talk about football with me. Like, he didn't talk about old plays. He didn't talk about old games. And then, you know, back in those days, you guys, I played soccer, so I didn't really care too much about football. I didn't really start truly loving football until I got into the game, probably when I was at Miami, and he was gone by that time. So we didn't sit around and talk a lot of football. It was more about what was going on. My dad loved playing video games. So I think we talked probably more about video games and UNLV basketball because we were both huge UNLV fans back in the day.
Tarkanian.
Yeah, him and Tark were really, really close. And so I got a chance to, you know, go live those days and those moments with him. I think we probably talked about more of the stuff that we did together.
That's interesting. Now, why were he and Jerry Tarkanian so close?
So one day my dad did an interview, and this is before the Running Rebels were the hottest team out. My dad just really loved the way they played basketball, and he said it in an interview. Tark saw it in the newspaper, reached out to my dad, and they became friends. And so during that time where they had their magical run, my dad was a big part of that in speaking to the team before games.
Oh, man.
So I traveled with him to most of those games, and just to be able to be a part of it, Stacey Ubman, Greg Anthony, Grandma Ma, those guys, I actually talked to Greg Anthony a couple of years ago at the Super Bowl, and he said him and those guys still talk about my dad talking to them before some of their big games.
JP, you told me that story. You know, we always hear about Michael Jordan, how competitive he is, and Jordan himself has called it a blessing and a curse, but you've told me stories about your dad, the competitor, going against Michael Jordan and all sorts of different things.
Yeah, Mike came to my house one time, and when he came up to the door, my jaw dropped because I was trying to figure out why Michael Jordan's at my house. And then he wanted to come in, and I looked at him and I said, "Man, you missed a couple free throws the other night, man. You guys could have
won."
And by the time I could like say anything else, my dad gave me this forearm shiver, and he came over to my house to play cards. And I ended up going into his pockets and getting all this money that was rolled up in rubber bands. And then about an hour later, my dad whistled to me again to come downstairs. Mike's got his head in his hands, and my dad's got a bunch of money in his hands. He gives me a $100 bill, and I ended the night with $105. So I was super excited. But they battled at everything that you could imagine.
I cannot imagine.
Listen, until 4 in the morning, bro. 4 in the morning, they were going back and forth playing pickup sticks to Miss Pac-Man. Oh,
yeah. I know. That's
with
the
same intensity.
Guys
Ms.
who are
Pac-Man.
Like that.
I love it.
You have to be at to be the best at anything. But in sports, and especially those two, the greatest basketball player and the greatest football player in Chicago was so blessed to be able to back-to-back have that, right? Just as your dad was leaving the sport, Michael Jordan was starting to excel in the sport. It was, you know, those moments in Chicago sport history are just, you know, just you can't believe how lucky we are. But those guys were also nuts. I got to know your dad a little bit. I did a bunch of charity events with him over the years, and I'll never forget, we were in a golf cart once, and I'm driving the golf cart, and I'm thinking to myself, my God, please don't kill Walter Payton. That's all I could think of while I was driving the golf cart, and he started tickling me. It was the strangest thing. I mean, that's right. I mean, your dad was that he was a practical joker.
Yes, he
and
was.
He always wanted to make people a little uncomfortable, you know, sort of like just kind of knock them off their game a little bit. That, which I think, you know, when you watched him as a running back, he was like that. Uh-huh. All of a sudden you thought, oh, I'm going to wrap this guy up. And he would do something at the last second just to throw you off your balance. And they did that with every human being on the planet Earth, I think.
Wasn't Michael Jordan known for that, too? Kind of to have that sort of thing where he'd throw people off and just kind of disarm you with something.
Yeah. Well, you
during games and outside of it as well.
Yeah.
Hey, JP, the rest of the list, anything stand out to you? Anybody should have been higher or lower? What do you think?
I don't know. The Urlacher thing.
I'm bothered by
people are upset about that one.
Yeah, in the top 10. I mean, just what he meant to that organization and what he did. I think that's the one that threw me off just a little bit. But, you know, for me, I never got a chance to see guys like Sid Luckman and other guys like Bronco Nagurski.
Bulldog Turner.
Yeah, to watch those guys. And so there's a reason why they're on there. So I just,
for sure.
I really want people to go do their homework on some of these guys if they don't know about them, just to see. Because Bronco, not only did he play well and bring championships to Chicago, he also, you know, went into the service. He came back, and then after 6 years later, helped them to another title. So he was also a wrestler. There's like a lot that goes into all this stuff.
And in an era where these guys were, like Ditka, I'll never forget, you know, he tells the story, he came to the Bears. They were making no money. A lot of these guys had to have second jobs. Your dad's era was the beginning of these guys being able to just have a single gig, which was being a football player, right?
Well, Bronco Nagurski was making they made $3,000 a year. At that time.
Right.
That's nothing.
Ditka, I think, was making like $5,000. He was a radio sales guy during the off season. Right?
We should hire him over at WGN Radio. Why not?
Yeah, but I've already made him the offer. It didn't work out so well. No. You don't want to be in the... When he makes a noise at you, you don't want to be around.
Just kind of a grunt. You just sort of... Well, he's number six, and that's the other thing that was brought up, because it's really ranking players. I mean, he's loved as a coach and what he did for that team, but as a player,
he's pretty great,
six.
Though. He's a pretty great tight end.
Yeah, he was. I don't think people really... They don't remember that because of him leading the Bears to a Super Bowl championship, but... He was a pretty darn good tight end as well. You got to watch his videos. He was a beast on the football field.
And Bill George at seven. I mean, we always talk about Buckus, Urlacher, and Singlet. Bill George basically invented the middle linebacker position.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he was the pioneer of that whole thing.
Yeah, number one and two, when you look at it, you know, what Buckus meant to this organization. You have Gale Sayers in the top five as well. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's I said my dad would be truly honored with all the names that are on this list to be number one. That's saying something, and it's a lot of hard work that goes into, you know, being able to have that spot.
And George Connors too. That's another name that people may remember. He played in the 60s and the 70s. He was a guy that, again, was, or maybe 50s and 60s. There are, like, as a kid, you know, because football is a generational thing, right? It's and Chicago Bears football, you know, it's a religion here, as you know, it is in Green Bay and other places. But it is the kind of thing where, you know, your granddad would talk to your dad would talk to you about it. You know, everybody would tell me as a kid about going to the championship game in 1963 at Wrigley Field and all, you know, like all of the, or the game that got him into the championship. You know, it's like these moments are, and you'd hear the names of players that they loved. And so when I'm going back through this list, and there are people that were not from my generation, those are all names that echo. Right. Those are all things that are there. Brian Piccolo, it's interesting, doesn't make the list.
Yeah.
And he doesn't make the list because he really, as a football player, it was not really Brian Piccolo's, that was not his contribution to the team or to the legacy.
Yeah, a lot of people's, too, are really kind of thrown back about Khalil Mack being on the list. And listen, what he did for the Bears last season and one season so far, I think he's got to be on the list somewhere. So it's tough, man, when you have an organization that has a lot of history like we do here in Chicago. It's hard to put everybody on the list, but when you look at all the great players, I think that's what we have to look at, not where they stand, but just go through the names and see the legacy that has been created here in Chicago when it comes to football.
All right, well, don't forget that on June 6th, the 8th annual Jared Payton Foundation golf outing, and Mr. Cochran and I are going to be doing the morning show from this event.
Nice.
And then we're going to be playing in the early round there. And Kevin's going to come out, and Anna and Kim and Lauren, anybody else who I'm from the show, is going to come out and, you know, buying them all tickets here, Jared, doing this whole thing. And the Jared Payton Foundation is an amazing organization. If you'd like to take part in this, I don't know, is it totally sold out yet?
It's getting close. My wife was telling me how many golfers. It's getting to that point. So
maybe a foursome left or two.
Yeah, let's go, man. Get your foursome at Ruffle Feathers Golf Club. You can go to jaredpayton.org to figure out more how to, you want to be a part of it. Even if you want to come to like the little dinner afterwards, you want to be a part of that. There's so many great things going on. Our foundation keeps growing and growing. I have to thank my whole entire team for helping me out, because I'm super busy and everybody else is helping me with my vision of helping kids around the Chicagoland area. Over the last 3 years, I've spoken to close to over 40,000 kids. So for me, it's an honor. It's a blessing to be able to share my story with people and see the impact that we're making for these young kids in the Chicagoland area. So, and I'm glad that WGN Radio is a part of it. Jewel Osco is a part of it as sponsors. Thank you guys for being a part of it. And it's cool to have a mission and people get behind it, and I think that's what it's all about.
Is Joel Donlin going to be part of it? Kevin Rowe want to know.
That's our boy, sure. JP. That's so. Our boy.
Yeah, I think Donlin's going to be a part of it.
So oh, good.
They have some
friendship
bracelets they'd like to give him.
That's normally how it goes. So
he's just the coolest guy ever. You're just as cool, almost
and
as cool
I know
as
that he
dad.
Likes you a lot too. It's just he hasn't had a lot of time for you.
And I was in the golf cart with him last year. I tried to tickle him in the golf cart.
It didn't work.
And Walter Payton tickled me once in a golf cart. No, that's not how that goes. It was weird. It was awkward, Jared. I'm not gonna lie to you. All right, JP, thank you so much, man.
Hey, do me a favor, tell Lauren Lapka. I said, what's up?
Hey, JP.
Hey, what's up, Lapka? I'm glad you're back, and it's so good to have you back with the family. So I look forward to seeing you whenever that is, hopefully down the line.
Yes, we'll have to meet up soon.
And
bring
talk
the band
Game
back
of Thrones.
Together.
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah, these guys were, that's right. They were all on a show together.
This love
is where,
that.
This is where it all began for everybody. All right, JP, thanks, man.
Thank
talk
you
to you.
See
all right, there he goes. Well, she can come out to the
golf outing. Yeah. Perfect time.
Exactly.
She can run interference with Joe Donlin when
Joe,
you guys are Joe, inappropriate.
You know what, Lauren, why don't you sit in the cart? He said, Joe's moving my bag off the cart. Right. Lauren's onto the cart. Hey, I don't know. They made a change, man. I don't know what they did. I don't know.
Yeah, I can picture it. Lauren, please sit with me. They're making me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's exactly what
he's
would
too
do
nice to say that, but you'll feel it for sure.
All right.
What did they say to him?
Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
A Cook County judge explains why he unsealed documents today in the case of Empire actor Jesse Smollett.
And Lauren's traffic brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems.